I read in your hearing a little while ago from the book of Acts, chapter number 8, and I read verses 26 through 39 about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip's encounter with him and preaching to him Jesus. This morning in my sermon, I want to address the 37th verse of that reading, and that's on page 1540 in the New Testament, in the Pew Bibles, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, the title that I've given my sermon this morning is just those two words, "I believe." I want to try to preach to you about that today. Somehow in my reading recently, I read those two words in some reading of information, and they not left my heart. They just continued to stay there, and I feel like God's put them there that I might try to share with you the Word of God today on those words, "I believe." And if you would, please join with me now in a further moment of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee as the Almighty God, the One in whom we live and move and have our very being. How thankful we are this morning, Lord, to be able to gather together as your people in your house. So thankful for each and every one who has been able to come and be here today. Trust that we can worship and praise you in an acceptable manner in thy sight. It's not about what we think, it's about what you want, what your will is, and what you have told us in your word. So help us, Lord, and bless us in our efforts of worship. We know we're mortals and that we're fallible and we make mistakes, and just in our humanity there's many things we'd like to do and like to do better, and your worship is one of them because you're worthy of so much better than we mortals are able to give on this earth. One day in heaven's glory we'll worship you perfectly, Lord, but here not so perfect, but use us nonetheless. Bless us for your glory. Bless your children. Bless each heart. Bless your word to all of us. Give us understanding of it, Lord, and please help me. Give me liberty to preach your word, Father. I know it has to come through the power of your Holy Spirit. He has to bless me with a ready turn of thought. He has to bless my voice with strength to proclaim it. He has to bless the hearts of your children to hear it and receive it and understand it. And Lord, all of that is well within the realms of thy divine and sovereign power. So bless us, Lord, today, and use us for your glory and the glory of Jesus. Make your word a blessing to all of our hearts, that we can hear it, share it with others along the path of life in a way that will give you glory again and again, and will encourage and bless the hearts of others of your children. Just help us now while we're gathered here, Lord. Tune our hearts for worship and praise. And bless your people and all their needs, wherever they are. But bless them now here, Lord, as we worship together and wherever your people are gathered, who've been washed in the blood of Jesus, born of your sweet Holy Spirit. Bless, O Lord, your children across the face of the earth. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Those two words, "I believe," it's been a blessing to my heart. I've pondered them, and the Lord just stirred my heart a little all week long because of those two words. Toward the end of the week, I began to think, well, I just wonder how many times in the Bible those two words, "I believe," are found together like that. And I began to try to figure that out and some resources I have, and to my surprise, only 5 times in the New Testament do those two words come like that, "I believe." I think you're familiar probably with all of them. One is in Mark chapter 9. You remember a father brought his son to Jesus. He had a demon of some kind, And Satan's power would sometimes cast that little boy into fire and sometime into water, and the father was so fearful of the life and well-being of his son that he carried him to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I guess with all of us, there's a measure of unbelief in us. You know, we kind of look up to a certain point and we say, well, I can believe that rather easily, but now I don't know beyond that whether I can grasp that in my heart or mind or not. But that was kind of the idea that Father had. Lord, I do believe, but will you help my unbelief? Because I need to believe more. The second one that I found was in the Gospel of John, chapter number 9, and I think many of you already realize that's the chapter where the man who was born blind received his sight as a blessing and miracle that Jesus performed for him. And of course, he got a lot of criticism because he was talking about what Jesus did for him, and it kind of got him in a little trouble, a little hot water with the religious authorities of that day. And so when he encountered Jesus later on, Jesus asked him, said, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus, in essence, said, the one that's talking to you, that's who he is. And when he understood that it was Jesus that he was talking about as the Son of God, that man who had been born blind and had received his sight and could see for the first time in all his years of living, that man said to him when he said that he was the one, he said, I believe. And the Bible says he worshipped him. It's the second time. Now, the third time is found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. You remember in the early verses of that 11th chapter, Lazarus was taken seriously ill. Mary and Martha were the sisters of Lazarus, and they sent to Jesus word that Lazarus was very sick. Jesus waited 2 days before he went to see about Lazarus, and in that time Lazarus died and was buried. You can understand the brokenheartedness of Mary and Martha, but when Jesus gets there, he first encounters Martha, and Martha knew, he said, you know, Lord, if you had been here, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Then Jesus said something that's blessed us in our hearts for many an Easter. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What's right, Martha said, I believe that you are the Son of God. Those two words, I believe. Now, a fourth one is found, and I preached a sermon at one point, I don't recall how long ago, but I preached a sermon on it. The Apostle Paul is being taken to Caesar. They encounter a great winter storm, Euroclydon, and it really just ramshackles the ship they're traveling on. And in the night, God sent an angel to Paul, and that angel said to Paul, there'll not a single person's life be lost on this ship. There's somewhere close to 275 or 6 people on that ship. And the angel said, not one of you is going to die in this storm. And then he goes to the people and he says, cheer up, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And then he said, I believe it shall be even as it was told me. But see those two little words right there. I believe. Paul said to them, I believe that it shall be even as God told me it's going to be that way. Now the fifth time in the Bible, the idea of I believe, the words there, is right here in this record of the Ethiopian eunuch. The 8th chapter of the book of Acts. It's an interesting and beautiful passage to me. In this passage, this Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority and power in his homeland, was apparently a convert to the Jewish faith and religion, and he has been to Jerusalem, the center of the Jewish worship, and has worshipped God, and he is going back home. And as he is going back home, he is reading the Word of God. He is reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. I can tell you where he's reading. He's reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. But when he reads about Jesus prophetically in those words, he doesn't understand what they mean. He doesn't understand who those words are being spoken of. And so when Philip comes by and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So I heard him reading of the Bible, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he simply said, "How can I, except some man should help me?" So Philip's going to be that man who's going to help him. And so the Spirit of God said, "Join yourself to him," and he did, and he gets into the chariot, and he's discussing what that Ethiopian had read. And he preaches to him Jesus. That's what he tells us right here. He preached unto him Jesus, verse 35. Out of those verses that are given, when that eunuch said, I don't know who he's talking about. I don't know if Isaiah's talking about himself or if Isaiah's talking about someone else. Can you explain it to me? And so he does. He preaches to him not about Isaiah, but he preaches to him about Jesus and explains about Jesus. And then they come to this place of water, and the Ethiopian eunuch had somewhere, sometime, encountered the concept of baptism. I know that because he wants to be baptized. I wanted to be baptized once in my life, too. When I was a young boy, I came before the church and asked for a home in the church one Sunday. I wanted to be baptized and be a part of the Lord's church here in the world. And thank God the church loved me enough to take me in and to baptize me. And so I understand the feeling of this man. He wanted to be baptized. And he said, well, in the light of what you've been telling me, what do I need to understand about being baptized? What is there that might prevent me from being baptized? And so Philip said, well, you simply need to believe with all your heart. Believe what? Believe about Jesus with all your heart. And that's when he used those two words, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Five times, those two words, I believe. Now, when I began to ponder these passages and roll them around in my head and in my heart, I found myself thinking about what is it that I believe? And this is individual, personal to me. What do I believe? I began to think about the articles of faith and how they always tend to begin with the words, we believe. But I'm thinking in terms that are very personal to me. What is it that I believe? And listen, I could spend a lot more time than I've got in this service today to tell you that. But I'm going to limit it to some things that are very, very, very precious to my heart. And there's seven things I want to share with you this morning to say, from this preacher's perspective, these are things I believe. And I want to remind you of them. The first thing is, I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5:7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, who was Jesus made flesh, according to John 1:14, dwelt among us, beheld his glory, and later received back into glory. But we understand, I believe in God as a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three that bear record in heaven, and that's who they are, and they are said to be one. I believe in God. I believe, number two, that God has chosen us unto himself before he ever created this world in which we live. Now, that seems a fantastic thing to be able to proclaim and declare. But I tell you today, with all my heart, I believe it. And I have believed it about as long as I can remember believing anything. You know why I believe it? Because of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 tells us, according as he, the Father, hath chosen us in him, Jesus. So we've been chosen by God the Father, chosen in Jesus. And that was before, it said there, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, God, in love. So anyone asked, well, do you believe in election? I surely do. Well, why do you believe in it? Because that's what the Bible tells me. And I believe the Word of God. And so I can say, I believe God the Father divinely chose us in Christ to be represented by Christ. And that's my next point. I'll get to there in a minute. But he did it before he ever created the world. That brings me to my third one. I believe the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died to pay my sin debt. Don't you? If he hadn't have done it, folks, we're in a lot of trouble. But I believe he did it. Paul said, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. And that's why I believe that Jesus saved me, died for my sins, paid the debt that I could not pay. Also, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe God the Father chose me in Christ before the world began. I believe God Jesus Christ came in second person in this earth and died on an old rugged cross to pay my sin debt. But I also believe in the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the Holy Ghost. In fact, Jesus told us something about him. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, that's the words of Jesus in John 3, 7 and 8. As he's talking to Nicodemus about the new birth. He says the new birth comes to us like the wind is under the control of God. The Holy Spirit moves in the controlling five powers of God. And the Holy Spirit, he says, you need to be born. You must be born again. You won't ever believe God. You won't believe in God. You won't believe his word unless you are born again. But he said, let me explain how that comes. The wind blows. You can feel it. You see the trees moving because the wind's blowing. But where did that wind come from? Did it originate a mile over yonder, 20 miles over there, 100 miles? Where did it come from? I don't know. Where is that wind blowing to over here? Did it stop a mile down the road or 100 miles? I don't know. We don't know where the wind comes from. We don't know where the wind goes to. I only know that the wind is here. And when the wind is blowing, it affects us. The Holy Spirit moves that way. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I believe we have to be born again to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, to love him, to serve him. And it comes because the Holy Spirit has come and taken residence in our heart and we've been born again. We have a natural physical birth when we were born into the world, but somewhere in the process of time, the Holy Spirit comes and we're born again. And I believe that we are born by the Spirit of God. And I believe that the Bible, which I've talked about a lot already and told you about other passages, is the foundation of our faith. I believe God didn't just leave it up to us preachers to write the rule book and decide what's right and wrong. We got people divided up enough when we got the Bible. What if we had written the book? It'd been even worse than it is, I assure you. But I believe the Bible, and my Bible has for all my life been the Authorized King James Version. I've never lost my love for it. I hope I never do. I've never found anything that could replace it. But I believe it to be the Word of God. I believe that's what the Bible is. It's God's Word, not man, but God's Word. And I believe the Holy Bible is the Word of God. And I base my life upon it, and I build my life upon believing what is in this book is the Word of God. Why do I believe it's God's Word? For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is why I believe this is the Word of God. Number six, I believe in heaven. I do. I believe there is a place called heaven. I believe it is a real place, not an imaginary place. I believe it is where the throne of God is and the spirits of His children who have departed this world are there. But I believe it is our place of eternal abode. That we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be with God there one day. It is a place where we will spend eternity with God our Father and Christ our Savior. Why do I believe that? John 14, first verses, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said, there is a place away from this world. It's heaven. It's the Father's house. If it wasn't so, He who is the way, the truth, and the life would have told us. But instead, He told us it is real, and that one day we'll be with God there. And I tell you, to this day right here today, I look forward to heaven and being at home with God there, because I believe in heaven. I really do. And lastly, I believe that Jesus is coming again. Oh, I know there are a lot of people that are scoffers, and there's unbelievers, and there are people who just want to say, well, it's been a long time, and He hasn't come back yet. He said He would, but He hasn't. So He's not ever going to come. But, oh, I tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't believe a word of that. I believe He's going to come again. Jesus said in that passage from John 14, did He say, "I will come again and receive you to myself"? He's coming. Do you remember in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse 11, when the disciples are watching Jesus leave this earth, ascending up out of their sight, and the Bible tells us that while they were standing there, holding on to that last fading glimpse of Him, there was an angel of God that came. And the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you have seen Him go." So not only did Jesus tell us He's coming again, but the angels of God said He went to heaven, but He's coming back one glorious day. I believe Jesus is coming again. And when He comes, according to my Bible, we're going to be resurrected. All of the redeemed will be resurrected first. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We're going to become immortal and incorruptible, according to 1 Corinthians 15:53 and 54, along in there. You see, Jesus is going to come. He's going to resurrect the dead, change the dead and the living to an eternal, immortal body that can live with God in heaven, world without Him. I believe. Those are the words my heart holds dear today. Now, in closing my sermon this morning, I want you to think about this. In the Articles of Faith, You can look at them in the little booklet out there in the vestibule, the little white booklet, if you don't already have one. Most of them say, because they're talking about all the church and the members of it, they begin by not, I believe, they begin by saying, we believe. Did you know that's also found in the Bible, those two words? Not just, I believe, but we believe. Remember, John's Gospel, chapter number 6, when there had been those who came, for a while they followed Jesus, and then they became discouraged, disenchanted, whatever. He began to teach some things they didn't like, didn't want, and they turned away from him and went back to the world. And Jesus said in the latter verses of that 6th chapter to his disciples who followed him, will ye also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now listen, and we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, when I believe something, and you believe it too, it becomes a we believe. In fact, Paul in Romans 6:8 said, if we die in Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. And what I understand he's talking about is when Jesus died on the cross, he represented you and me and all God's elect whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus took our place on Calvary's cross and there laid down his life, bowed his head and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when he had thus said, he gave up the ghost, he died. And Paul said, if we died with Christ, if he represented us there, we died with Christ. If we died with Christ, Paul said, we believe we shall also live with him. And that's in heaven's glory. One wonderful day. And there's just yet another I share. Acts 15:11. We believe. That through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they, as others, before us, around us. We believe, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. I don't know how many believe in salvation by grace. I don't need to know. I just know I believe, saved by grace. And I know people like you and others that I know you believe, saved by grace, and we can together, united in our faith in God and in Christ our Savior, say, we believe. I'm so thankful that I believe. Aren't you? That you believe. And that we believe we shall be saved by His amazing, or are saved by His amazing grace. I'll close my sermon by saying this. When we live every day, we've got this whole year almost out before us. We're just starting the year. And whatever years God may give us in our lives, how we're going to live them. I hope we'll live them in the light of the fact that I believe I want to live the rest of my life based upon what I believe in the Word of God. And I want to encourage all of us to do that. Just think every day, what is it I believe? I want to live my life in the light of that. And because I know it took a work of grace and Holy Spirit to get me where I am. And I'm a long, long, long ways from perfection. But one day I'll get there by His grace, because when in heaven I will be perfect. Never here on this earth. But to be able to live my life for His glory and praise. To worship and honor Him each day I live. To get up wanting every day, feel the presence of God with me, and to give me strength against all the sin that is in the world, to try to live my life as I believe God wants me to live it day by day. I want to do that for as long as I live, and pray to God for grace to do it because of what I believe. May the Lord bless you to feel that way. May we all rejoice in the Lord's goodness. and live by what we believe as individuals who can say, I believe. My prayers for Christ's sake.